is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and Conrad Black, Lord Black, is here to help me with Canadian observations, because Conrad writes a column for the National Post, and after several weeks of our discussion about Quebec and Canada's politics, he turns to the fact that suddenly he was sent notice that his second vaccination was available, thinking that it was going to take more weeks. Suddenly it was here. And that gave him an opportunity to queue up with his fellow Canadians. Queue up. This is a term of art we don't much use in the United States. We say line up. Not much anyway. Queuing, however, thanks to Conrad, is a national sport, and compare and contrast. We begin with a Canadian queue. Conrad, a very good evening to you. What is a Canadian queue? Given that it's for life-saving vaccine, was it different than it is for a newspaper? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. No, not really. A Canadian queue is very good-natured, but very observant of the right of each person to his place in the queue and not to be displaced or passed or have someone come in ahead of him. It's an orderly but good-humored process, and there is no jostling, and there's often friendly but not boisterous conversation. And I just offered the observation that countries that line up are do so differently. In the United States, it is such an individualistic country. There is a bit of jostling. In Britain, it is a kind of national act of self-declared civilization. And I've often thought that next to cruelty to animals, the British regard queue jumping as the worst offense that there is, much more offensive than shoplifting or something like that. And of course, if you get into the Latin parts or the Slavic parts of Europe, from Spain to southern France and Italy and Poland and so on, there is no such thing as a queue. It's just a scrum. It's quite different.
The queue you entered was to life-saving, St. Michael's Hospital in Toronto. So was this a qualifyingly different kind of queue? Were people despairing? Were they masked, social distancing?
No, on the contrary. They were all masked up, because Canadians are, even though we were outside. Canada's a bit over-compliant in that regard. But it was good-humored and very diverse in ethnic terms. We have two official languages, as you know. French is the other one, and most of them that I overheard, not because I was trying to, but you couldn't fail to do it, were speaking some other language. I think there were some people speaking Tagalog, you know, Filipino, and some sounded a bit like Russian to me, but I heard a few other things too. But I'm saying that in an appreciative way. I think, rather a nice thing to have this high level of diversity that we have here.
And yet people from all over the world, where they have different understandings of the word queue, follow the Canadian model. Now, there's one image that struck me as a short story. It was a lady in a electrified wheelchair who would take a spin every once in a while and then come back to line. Was she permitted to go to the same place in line that she was before?
Yes. Even though she ended up behind where she started, everyone spontaneously agreed, especially given her handicap, that she shouldn't be penalized for a bit of curiosity about what was going on elsewhere. So she resumed her place. We all stepped back for her. By the way, on the word queue, I want to add one thing. I know it's not much used in the United States, but you may remember that President Obama told the British that if they left the European Union, voted yes for Brexit, they would go to the back of the queue, which extremely infuriated the British. It was none of his business to comment on that. But I just point out that today, the approval rating I was reading amongst the British population was a very close vote to leave four years ago yesterday, I think.
Five years.
But the 70% of the British are now happy that they left. So with that, if that's the back of the queue, let's go there.
I agree, and there's much to celebrate about Brexit, but I want to go inside St. Michael's Hospital. You praise the hospital, and you praise the hospital's presentation of the vaccination. How did it go? How were people treated inside? And were there smiles on people's faces?
Absolutely. Extremely pleasant and cordial, very knowledgeable. They have questions they have to put, but they didn't put any questions that were irrelevant or silly or annoying. And the chairs that we were sent over to were very comfortable. And I was asked to be there at 2, and so I arrived a little early. And the inoculation took place at exactly 2. And as I said to the very pleasant man who administered it, it was the most completely painless inoculation I've ever had. I didn't realize that it had happened until he asked me to put my finger on a little bit of gauze while he got a little Band-Aid to put over it.
And Cardinal Carter, you remember Cardinal
Yes.
Carter, another short story. They're all packed together in this column. What do we need to know about Gerald Emmett Cardinal Carter?
He was a great archbishop and a man who was very popular with the whole community here. He was never narrow-minded, he participated in a great many groups and activities where he was with people who weren't particularly co-religionists of his, and he was a very... he was a dear friend of mine, despite the difference in our ages. And he, for example, always knew how to avoid any of these terrible problems that church has had and other churches have had of molestation of young people. He said that the secret was to judge who might be susceptible to that and keep them away from temptation. And there's never been a hint of any such problem in this archdiocese, a very large archdiocese, approximately the same number of people in it as in New York. And there's never been a hint of anything like that. But he was always a good-humored man, lived into his 90s, completely sensible right to the end, and very, very popular man. He was head of various commissions to investigate, civic or national matters, and he was just a prestigious figure.
Were you in the Cardinal Carter wing of the St. Michael's? Is that where you had your vaccination?
That is right. It was an addition to the hospital that I was one of the fundraisers for. And they kept announcing, would so-and-so go to such-and-such a place? And they mentioned Cardinal Carter's name so often. It was quite nostalgic because the last time I saw him, I visited him in the Cardinal Carter suite of the Cardinal Carter wing, and he greeted him. It was shortly after my brother had died, and he greeted me with the words, you've just lost your brother and you're about to lose another one, referring to himself.
And finally, about your Canadian citizen, your colleagues, Canadian citizens, you note that everybody's good-natured and well-educated, but that Canada lacks monuments to violence. It never occurred to me. Now, Conrad, you have a history of Canada, so you're way ahead of me. But I've read the First War recently, the Western Front. The Canadian troops, all volunteers, were very good at violence. There must be monuments.
Oh, yes. No, they've always been good soldiers. And we've never participated in an unjust war, never have been other than on the winning side. All volunteers and all our lads fought well. All of that is true. But inside Canada, there have not been 100 deaths due to political violence, civic violence, in not as many as 100 in the entire history of the country as an autonomous country, 154 years.
I also mentioned that the Canadian forces in the Second War were extremely effective in the invasion of Sicily, a lot of sacrifice. So I just wanted to make note of that.
And at Normandy, we had one beach at Normandy, and the United States had two, and the British had two, and we had an air brigade as well. I mean, for a country that was only about 12 million people, we certainly pulled our weight.
Yes, all standing in queue in heaven, all of them. Now, Conrad, we're going to turn to the other part of Canadian presentation, which is politics, and there will be some contest in this. So we leave our well-cued Canadian citizens, and when we come back, politics, microbiology, level four labs, and perhaps a new election in Canada called by the Prime Minister. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.